and iTunes International. From the golden sands of Bondi Beach across your world.
You're listening to Bondi Tunes International, broadcasting around your world. I'm Henry in Sydney, Australia. I'm delighted to welcome Rachel Brunson, our entertainment reporter, who is in Melbourne in the state of Victoria, which, unlike Queensland, actually does change to summertime. I'm going to give Adam a hard time about this. Rachel, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me back. It's great to be back after a little bit of a rest.
And, you know, by the time we go to air, Robbie Williams will have left our country. But he has been here. I don't know if he's still here. Is he still here?
I believe he's still here. He's been out and about doing a lot of things. He's got a Netflix documentary that's just dropped on it's called 25, I believe.
Yep.
And he has been flogging that all over town, so I'll give that a watch on the weekend. I'm fascinated by him. I love him as a performer. He's a great entertainer. He's the ultimate showman, and
he really
I never tire of his antics. He gives and gives and gives, and he loves this country. So, you know, he loves this country.
He does.
And he comes back time and time again because he knows that it's his second home. So I love him. I think he's terrific. And I wish he'd move here and stay forever.
I did watch him. You know, my friend M, whose name is Mike, I call him M because he calls me H. H, he's from Liverpool. And he got me onto Robbie back in 2001 when he was doing a kind of a Frank Sinatra special on stage. I don't know if you saw it. It was fantastic.
He can do it all.
And the thing is, he was off his face doing that. But my God, what a performer he is!
Well, let's be fair. So was Frank, and so was Dino.
And a lot of people don't realize that because the press wasn't so nasty to them, was it? You know what I mean, right?
True. Yeah. But they'd all be crooning with a very full glass of scotch in their hand.
In the good old days. We love Robbie. I became a, you know, I actually think, now tell me if I'm wrong, but it seems to me that when he had children, his life really changed.
Very much. When he met his wife, he said things changed a bit for him, and he realized, you know, finally what love was, and met his forever person. But when he had kids, and anybody who has kids has probably told you, they are life-changing, and everything that you were doing becomes not a thing anymore, and it's all about the kids. And it's great how people get – some people get more fulfilled from children than others, but I think that's really completed his life now, and he's now able to still entertain us. But there's almost a softness to him now that he's still his brash and sassy self, because – he is brash and sassy, and nothing's going to change that. But he's also, I think, a little more thoughtful, a little more, playful, a little more.
He's wiser. He's older and he's wiser. You know.
Yeah, very much. And he's been through a lot in his life. He's risen up. He's come back down. He's risen back up again. He's the ultimate reinvention of himself. For
absolutely,
sure.
And you know. That Netflix special on him is a four-part series, and I have it. I just haven't watched it. I've seen bits of it. And what I love about Robbie Williams is that he is himself on air. He doesn't change one iota. You could be talking to him in his living room, you know?
Yeah, you could. Not at the pub anymore because he's a dad.
Yes.
But in his living room for certain.
Do you believe in giving up any kind of drug, as in cold turkey, as in I'm trying to think of the term, but I can't because I'm on chemo. Getting chemo fog here. But do you believe that people should abstain 100% from the likes of alcoholism or drug use? There's a siren passing my house. It's not for me. It's not for him. It's for someone else. But do you think cold turkey's like a good thing? Because I've always got a problem with the all or nothing thing, but it's necessary for some people, isn't it?
I think in some people it really does work, and factor in smoking as well.
Yes.
So I think for some people it really truly works. But I also think that some people, that approach doesn't work, and they need to go to a rehab and do a 28-day program and do a detox that's gradual and do all the therapy that's necessary. But I think it really just depends on the person.
Yes, it does, and we're all different, of course. I wanted to ask you about the Arias, which are an Australian music thingy.
Yeah.
Have you watched them? I bet you haven't.
No, because they were on it.
Do it on YouTube anyway.
They were on at like 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and I wasn't even home yet.
That's a ridiculous time.
And then they rescreened it on Channel 9 at 7:30. By that stage, I was in bed and uninterested, and I'm still fairly uninterested in the Arias. Mm. All I know is that there was an Aria one that should not have been won by that particular person. You know who I'm talking about. Yes. I won't utter her name.
Yes.
Out loud.
Yes.
You know, and
Troy Sivan.
Yes, that was deserved.
Yeah, and they're doing well. The person that shall not be named by you, I presume. Well, I'm not going to presume anything. Anyway, they both got awards.
Yes. Some very well deserved. Troy Sivan did great, and he deserved every accolade coming to him. The other one, no.
Okay. Right. Okay. Now, I just want to talk to you actually about other things, if that's okay.
Sure.
You have been to America.
Mm-hmm.
And you went to Los Angeles. And mm-hmm. Where else did you go? I know you were in New York.
We went to Washington, D.C.
Yes. What was that like, by the way, Washington?
That was amazing. We went when it was just starting spring, and the all their beautiful blossom was starting to bloom, and there was a blossom festival, the cherry blossom that you'd find in Japan, and it was beautiful. But we were leaving just as it started to sort of take flight. It was great. We got to see from a distance because of security, etc., you know, the White House, the Capitol. One of the most memorable things for me was the Lincoln Memorial, and you're allowed to enter that and go up as close to that giant sculpture of Abe Lincoln on that giant chair. And then when I turned around, there's a perfect view of the Washington Monument, and then behind that is the Capitol. But you know the reflecting pool between Lincoln Memorial and the
all of those were
empty because they were just coming out of winter, and nothing had been they emptied them for winter because it would just freeze. So they hadn't filled them up yet. So all the fountains and everything else weren't currently working. So next time we go back, we'll have to go a little later so we can see all those lovely things with, you know, full of water and full of life. From Melbourne, Australia, Rachel Brunston on Bondi
Tunes International. You're a big fan of New York. And you celebrated something very special there again.
I did. I celebrated. I mean, well, we got married there several years ago.
That's right. Yeah.
It is my favourite city other than Melbourne and other than Paris. But we went for my birthday this time, and Rob said, "Where do you want to be? Because we'll be in the States. Where do you want to be on your birthday?" And I looked at him over the top of my glasses, as you do, and said, "Have you met me? Of course I want to be in New York." So on my birthday, we did exactly what I wanted to do. We went and saw a Broadway show, and we had the most magnificent sushi I've ever had in my life, and that was the only two things I wanted to do, and I did them.
And would you live there?
Yes, yes.
You and Adam are the same, because Adam's also been to the United States. And
yes.
You both, I had you both on together many months ago, and you both agreed, New York, yeah, I'd live there.
I'd definitely live there.
Does it worry you about the culture of America? I'm just asking that because it is so different, and I'm always saying this, that we may speak the same language as the Americans, mm-hmm. the British and the Australians, classically, mm-hmm. but they're very different. You know, they're very different.
I would agree with that if we were talking about a red state. So
Texas.
Right. So Trump's state of New York, which isn't anymore, even when he was president, it wasn't his state. It's a blue state. So it's, and the same with Los Angeles. They're very leaning towards the left. There's a whole no gun thing going on. There's, I think it's more like our politics than the red states would be. So I'd be happy to live in New York. It's one of the few places that I actually feel 100% safe walking around by myself at night time.
That's intriguing.
Well, we usually stay in sort of Midtown, and there's not too much trouble in Midtown. It's the theatre district. It's, you know, hustle and bustle all the time. But I've never been in a place that has as much police presence. They got touchy after people flew planes into buildings. And when you go to New York, you'll see a large police presence. And I suppose I'm also coming at this with a tinge of white privilege. Because I am a white woman who isn't going to be harassed by police, and I know that happens. We all know that happens. But I wouldn't encounter that problem. And like when we were in Grand Central Station, for example, the National Guard are posted there with their very big guns,
yes.
And they're dotted against the walls. But oddly, they're not a sort of an oppressive force. They're just there, you know, making their presence known that there'll be no shenanigans today, not on our watch, that kind of a deal. So I feel very, very safe. And the police there, to me, again, probably not just because I'm a white woman, but I was actually sort of staring what appeared to be into space. And they were, are you okay, ma'am? Do you need directions?
Oh, that's good.
Et cetera, et cetera. And I was like, no, I know where I am, and I'm just absolutely marvelled by your architecture, and there's so much history in this. But where are you from? I'm from Australia. We're a really young country, so some of your buildings are older than us, and I'm just awed by, you know, the fact that I'm here and I'm in this wonderful place, and I'm just soaking it up. And they said, well, if you want to find interesting things, go this way and that way, and you may see this. And so that's the encounter I had with the police. But honestly, I felt way safer there than I did in London.
Isn't that interesting? You mentioned Paris as one of your favourite places. I've been there many times. In fact, I lived in France for a year. Paris intrigued me the last time I was there because you talked about, the army or the police with heavy guns.
Yes.
We're actually crossing Paris at this point, getting off a train from Germany and onto a ferry to Ireland, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And we just crossed Paris for about 2 hours to get from one place to the other.
Yeah.
And I was really surprised to see these Parisian, I think they were police, but they were so heavily armed with, as you mentioned, big guns in New York, big guns in Paris.
Yes, for the same reason, I would wager, for the same reason, because they had a lot of trouble with terrorism and
of course,
you know, of course, had awful things happening to them at that time. And, I mean, I think they were also trying to move on. There's a bit of a problem in Paris with people trying to, pickpocket you, which they never got me. I got the right backpack, which you can't interfere with.
Yes.
And also, I think they had a big problem with people trying to scam you on the street and also people illegally selling,
stuff.
Keychains and stuff like that. So they were trying to keep those people or let those people know that there was a presence there and they should move on.
I have to ask you about the cabbies. Did you take a cab, and is it like in the movies where the cabbie is kind of, you know, tough with you?
We never took a cab. We never took a cab in New York. We never took a cab in Paris. We never took one cab in London. But we walked everywhere. And we also took the subway in Paris as well. We wanted to go somewhere that was a little further out, and we caught the subway. We weren't scared to do that. I will never, ever, ever again get on the tube, and that's because of my irrational fear of escalators.
You're talking about London, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. London, you know, I lived there for 3 years and the tubes are crazy. You know, I used to work at 6 a.m. in the morning. I get on the tube at 5 a.m. and it was packed.
Yeah.
I mean, packed at 5 a.m. And it's a horrible, horrible experience. If you've got claustrophobia, you're underground.
But the escalators, actually, the escalators terrified me.
That's what do you in. I mean, you have to walk. You have to stand on the left side, I think, and walk on the right side. And if you're on the right side and you're standing, you nearly get mowed over.
Well, we did, and we got off. We went on the train from Paris to London. We got on the train and did that. I didn't want to deal with Heathrow, so we got on the train.
Yeah.
And sorry, I'm just putting Gordy on the floor.
That's okay.
We got on the train, and when we got to the train station to move on to where we were going next, I was standing on the wrong side with suitcases, two very heavy suitcases, and as you know, I'm not the hugest thing in the world, and these people were like, get on the other side, get on the other side. So here I am trying to limp these suitcases across,
shit.
Feeling very stressed because people were yelling at me and I didn't know what I was doing, and I just wanted somebody to show some manners or say or clearly figure out that I had no idea what I was doing. And I'd missed Robbie. Robbie had got on, you know, 50 people back from me, so I couldn't see him. I didn't know where he was. And I just said to him when we got off there, I said, I'm never, ever, ever doing that again. We'll have to figure out another way to get around town. We found the perfect bus that stopped outside where we were staying, and it went all around the place, so I never had to get on the tube again, and I will not ever, should I ever find myself back in London, I will never do it.
And the thing is, yeah, I mean, it's very aggressive, London, and you know, people get the stereotypical thing where New York is an aggressive place, but it sounds like you prefer New York a lot more than London.
Well, that's the thing, and people say that, you know, New Yorkers are rude or whatever, but, and as an Australian, I guess because we're so laid back, I might have found them rude, but what I found them was efficient. And nobody ever gave me a hard time because I was, you know, trying to make change when I was, or couldn't figure out the tipping, for goodness sakes, or you know, many other things that I got horribly wrong in New York. But they were all so kind and nice, and I never struck a rude soul in New York. Not once.
Yeah, I was in San Francisco in 2001, and I was only there for a couple of days because I was going to fly from LAX back to Sydney. And the few people that we did talk to were incredibly polite. And
it's a great city, and we had it on our list, but we didn't have time. But San Francisco would be the next stop when we go next.
Yeah, we immediately jumped on. We didn't have time to go to New York. The only two cities that I'm really interested in are those, and of course they're both kind of lefty cities, you know, more progressive. I mean,
lots of art, lots of, you know, amazing things to see and do. You can go for a month and still not see it all.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be interested in going to, we've got two correspondents in America, three actually, but one is in Orlando, Florida, and the other is in Texas.
Yep.
And they're not places I'm overly interested in going, quite frankly.
Me neither. Me neither.
Okay, now finally, I want to talk about your Gordy, who you mentioned briefly.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Devlin, our Australian political correspondent, who will be on this show this week, his dog is called Vivian, and she has a cone around her neck.
Did she get fixed?
I don't know what happened, actually. I don't think she got fixed, but she had some kind of irritation where she can't, you know, scratch her, or she can't put her mouth. And so, how's Gordy?
He's a brand new puppy. I mean, as I said to you before, he got diabetes, and the blindness literally happened overnight. He went completely blind, and he was so depressed and so not himself. And we went to an eye specialist, and they said, we can do this surgery, we will get his sight back 95%. And I went, wow, that's pretty cool. And when they did that, they blew out the cataracts that he had gotten from the diabetes, which made him go blind overnight, but they also blew out the cataracts that had started to develop because he's a little bit older, and he's back to his old self. He's back to when he was five. Like, this puppy is a puppy again. He's amazing. And with the diabetes, he's doing really well. We're still figuring out, you know, dosages and stuff like that. But he's a real trooper about it, and a trooper about the amount of eye drops he's got to suffer and all sorts of things. So, and now I figured it out. It's all about bribery, you see.
Yes.
So it's all about give me a treat and I'll let you jab me and put things in my eyes and that's fine, but I want the treat and I want it now.
And it doesn't matter. You're happy to do that.
Happy to do that.
Mm.
He's now, the baby.
Indeed. And talking of babies, you're a grandma. You is a grandma.
I know. I'm granny. I'm just granny.
I saw a video of you talking with Hunter, your grandchild. What a cute baby. I don't normally say babies are cute. I normally think they all look the same. But this kid, just looking at him.
I do too. Little bald people.
And but a bit cheeky like his mum.
Genuinely a cutie pie.
Sorry?
Very cheeky like his mum. But he is a genuine. I don't either. I'm just like babies look like babies to me. They're cute.
Yeah.
But I don't sort of fuss over them. But he is a cute baby. He is seriously.
He
like,
seriously
put
is.
Him in an ad. He's cute. Yeah.
Well, that's a good idea. That's a very good idea. I like that idea.
I'll tell Beth to do that. Yeah.
Do. Okay, Rach, it's always good to talk to you. Sorry it's been so long, but we shall talk.
No, that's all right.
I'll get you and Adam on together in a couple of weeks' time and we'll have a grand old chat. Rachel, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me back.
This is Bondi Tunes International. This is Real Radio.
With love from Bondi Beach in Australia, Bondi Tunes International.
You're listening to Bondi Tunes International Broadcasting around your beautiful world. Well, maybe not always beautiful. I'm Henry in Sydney, Australia, and I'm very happy to have Adam Devlin, our Australian political correspondent, on the line from Brisbane in the state of Queensland, who are way too lazy to switch to summertime. Welcome to the show, Adam.
Hi, Henry. How are you going? Hello, listeners.
So, Adam is an hour
behind. Listen, I might just say, if I may.
Yes.
It's not that we're too lazy to switch to summertime.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that we don't need to.
Why don't you need to?
Because we don't get that horrible winter stuff you get down there.
Mm. This is true.
And so,
you didn't have a winter.
The seasons, there's no real difference between the seasons up here. There's about a 3-degree difference between winter and summer. So we just don't bother with things like daylight saving. I wish we did, because we'd get more daylight at the end of the day.
Yeah,
after work. But yeah, we can't do it up here because, well, there's two main reasons why we can't do the daylight savings here in Queensland, according to the Queenslanders.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, of course, it disturbs the cows. They don't know when to get up to be milked. And it fades the curtains.
Oh, yeah, the old fade the curtains thing, right? Okay, now we're going to talk about...
And think of the poor cows.
Oh, I feel for the cows. Have you ever milked a cow?
I have, by hand.
Of course, you're from, obviously, a fishing village, but it was very rural.
I had, yeah, and just, about 40 minutes north of where I was born and raised was one of my aunts and uncles who still own and run a dairy farm. So in Bega, Bega cheese. They supplied milk to Bega Cheese.
Oh, yes, very famous. And it's famous in the UK as well. Bega Cheese is very well known globally.
It's one of the biggest cheese companies globally, yeah. As a child, we would go up and visit my aunt and uncle frequently.
Mm-hmm.
And if we stayed overnight, Uncle Ronnie would get me up in the morning with him at Sparrowfart. In the morning, it seemed like the middle of the night to a child, but
yes,
it was probably about 5 a.m. And he would take me out into the dairy and all the cows would come up.
Mm-hmm.
And he had the milking machines, but he made sure that I knew how to milk a cow by hand. He showed me how to do it. And I would often go up and milk a cow by hand as a bit of fun.
Yeah.
And what he would then do, and I can't believe I did this now because I don't drink milk anymore.
Oh, yes.
But I would often milk a cow by hand and then tip that milk into the vat that all of the milking machines empty into.
Mm.
And then at the end of the milk, we'd go around and we'd take a big scoop of fresh milk from the cows out of the vat and we'd all have a big drink of fresh milk directly from the cow.
Okay.
It was warm, but it was lovely.
I was going to say, it wasn't pasteurized at this point.
No. This has been literally, 20 minutes before I was just drinking it. It was inside the cow.
And it
Which
was
makes
warm.
Me feel ill now that I say that.
I used to get farmed out, excuse the pun, to farms because I was in a children's home back then.
Mm.
And some people have said to me, it's hard to actually milk a cow. Because sometimes you get it wrong and the milk doesn't come out. I had no problems, but it sounds like you had no problems either.
No, in fact, as growing up as a young gay boy, I saw it as an apprenticeship.
I'm not even going there.
May need to edit that out.
Let's talk about the areas, and for our international audience, what are the areas?
The areas are the Australian Recording Industry Association Awards. They are an annual award. They're very similar. I guess you could call them the Australian version of the Grammys.
Okay.
They've been around for quite a while, a number of years now, a number of decades, actually. And it is the night of nights for Australian music. And they were held last night.
And are they, I was speaking to our entertainment reporter very briefly about the arias because she doesn't watch them, at least not in real time. I think she grabs them off YouTube. They're on 5 p.m. or some ridiculous time like that. Heaven knows why they did that.
Well, they started doing the red carpet at about, I think it was 1:30 in the afternoon on YouTube. They were streaming that live, and then it switched over to Stan. I think it was 5:30 or 6 o'clock or something. But yeah, it was a fun night watching it.
And I believe that, is it Kylie Minogue and Troye Sivan? Did well?
They did. It has been, it's very bizarre, Henry. In summer in America, that's just coming to an end now, there's always the sort of anticipation about what's going to be the big summer song, the big summer hit in America. Because Americans are, you know, they're out, they're celebrating, it's summer, they're all having a wonderful time, they're all partying, and they all want to party to the big song of the year. Well, this year in America, there were two songs of summer. And strangely, they were both by Australian artists.
yes.
You know, Australian music really dominated the summer charts in America this year, particularly the dance and club charts. And so you had two Australian artists, Troye Sivan with his first single off his third album, Rush, and Kylie Minogue with the first single off her 135th album, or something like that. She's been around forever.
Yes, indeed.
And with her song, Padam Padam.
Which I was fascinated by the video of that. My God, she looks younger than she did in 1991 when, you know, she had songs from Stock Aitken and Waterman.
Yes.
I Should Be So Lucky comes to mind.
Yes, and... of course, it all started with The Locomotion.
Yes.
It's...
the video is
Kylie,
amazing.
Of course, the video is incredible. It just came out of nowhere. And I just... You know, Kylie Minogue has been around for...
30?
A very long time.
32 years.
Yeah.
So, of course, on the back of, you know, in Britain... Of course, she was very popular on Neighbours, and the drama which the BBC showed at 1:30 in the afternoon, and it repeated at 5:30. And by the way, her mate, Jason Donovan, was the number one male singer in the UK in the early 90s.
Yeah,
quite amazing.
Just to correct my falsehood a moment ago, she's released 16 albums, not 135. But yeah, so during COVID, she released an album, and it was a bit. I mean, it did well on the charts. It was Golden was the album. And she did Golden in 2018 and then she did Disco in 2020. And both of those albums sort of encapsulated a different sort of feel for her. Golden was for her a country-esque or a country-influenced album, which did quite well. It charted, you know, around the world, went gold in a number of places. It went number one here in Australia. Went number five in the UK, went to 64 in America, but we have to remember Kylie Minogue in America is a bit like ABBA in America.
Exactly my thoughts, yes.
She's known by a small number of people, predominantly, I must say, the gay community in America.
No shit, Sherlock.
go figure. and... So, you know, she always charts in America, but it's always at the bottom end of the charts. And then in 2020, she released Disco, which she recorded during COVID.
And that was a full album, yeah?
It was an album, yes. And it was a disco-themed album. Of course, Kylie has always said that when she was growing up in Australia, in the same time I was growing up in Australia, she's almost my age, disco was... you know, in the late 70s, early 80s, in our informative years, disco was still the thing, the trend of the moment.
But dying fast, it has to say.
It was dying fast, yes. And you know, by 83, 84, disco was done, dead and dusted. But it was still for people of Carly and my generation, people, you know, from 55 to 60.
Mm.
That sort of late 70s, early 80s period is your informative years for music, for pop music.
For sure.
And so disco was and she actually said this at the time, it was like an homage to her formative years in the sort of music that she likes and loves. Mm. And it was recorded, she recorded it at her home in London because COVID was happening. So she couldn't go into the studio and do it all like she would normally do an album. So she recorded the vocals at home. Now, this is important because it leads into the album I'm about to talk about. Mm. She had to record these vocals from her home. And her producers and management sent her over a production kit and said, look, record your vocals and you can play with them on this machine and get them to what you like and then send us the vocals and we'll put everything else around it.
Hmm.
So she did that and she loved doing that. And she said in a couple of interviews that I've seen that she just spent hours playing with this machine and playing with her vocals and she loved doing that. And so post-COVID, it was time for a new album. And when she decided to record the new album, which is called Tension, she said to her management and producers, look, I had so much fun doing my vocals on disco. I want to do the same thing with these. And they went, sure. So for the first time ever on a Kylie Minogue album, she actually has a producer's credit because she produced her own vocals herself at home using this technology that they sent her for the previous album.
Mm.
And I have to say, her vocals on this album are some of the best that she's ever sounded. So I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, I reckon if not the next album, but the album after, will be a self-produced album by Kylie Minogue, and that'll be a big milestone in her career.
Do you think that this makes people in recording studios a little bit nervous?
If it doesn't, it should.
I just want to get back to America for a minute because, if you break America, it's a real big deal. And
it's the biggest music market on the world. So that's why everyone wants to break America.
Absolutely. And also, if you break America, you often break Europe by default. And the rest of the world, although she's quite happy. She has been quite happy with European success, of course. But
like ABBA.
Just like ABBA. And, it's interesting. ABBA have the same sort of situation in America where they get into the charts. But I think, ABBA with those dreadful movies, Mamma Mia, and then Mamma Mia 10 years later, Here We Go Again was the name of that. That kind of introduced
And there's sadly, I can report there is a third coming.
Oh, no. Not Pierce Brosnan trying to sing again?
I'm afraid so.
Oh, dear. Well, anyway, her album, am I right in saying that it did go to number one in America?
It went to number two in America.
Yes. Who was it beaten by? Do you remember?
Off the top of my head, I can't. Sorry.
That's okay. I was just wondering.
There was a ton of stuff out at the time. Mm. And this album, it was quite funny in the lead up to this because Kylie Minogue is now 55 years old.
Yep.
The average age of a pop star in America is probably about, I don't know,
18? Oh, 15, whatever.
So when you get to Kylie's age and you're releasing a new album in America and it's a pop dance album, the no one's going to pay any attention to it because you're 55 years old. And yet somehow, out of nowhere, she managed to produce an album that just is amazing. It is as contemporary as any fresh-faced 20-year-old pop star is producing today.
Do you think that you... Now, I want to ask about video in general, just to go off subject slightly. Video is hugely important, especially amongst the young folks. who really don't watch television anymore, it's all YouTube. How important is the video? Because this is a big thing, isn't it? I mean, you know, that video, as I keep saying, was fantastic. How important is it for every artist to produce a really cutting edge video like that?
When you're talking about pop slash dance slash house music, it is essential. And here's the thing. It's not only YouTube anymore, Henry. It's TikTok.
Oh, excuse me.
But
you're right.
I forgive you. You're old, so I forgive you.
Yes, yes. I'm older than you.
And I don't get TikTok myself, but I'm aware of its influence and what it can do. And so if you can produce a video that has a little piece of choreography that is interesting and unseen previously, but easy enough for people at home, and by people I mean children, people, you know, under the age of 30.
Yes, children. Idealistic young little buggers.
Yeah. If you can produce a video that has a little catchy little chorus and a catchy little dance step that people can do at home in front of their own video camera, then you can produce something that on TikTok will generate millions and millions and millions of views. And what happens on TikTok is people see the video and then they sit at home, and I'm assuming, based on what I was like at that age, they then get drunk and high. And then they put the song on, they set their phone up, they put it on video record, and they do the same dance steps
on TikTok
and post it on TikTok.
Yeah, and get millions of views.
And so if something becomes viral on TikTok, it's almost guaranteed that it's going to become a chart hit.
It's picked up by the big people.
Yeah, because for them to watch the video enough times to be able to duplicate the dance steps, they've got to stream that song for hours. And every stream adds to its success, so that pushes it up the charts. So, and this is something that both Kylie and Troy Sivan did so brilliantly this summer in America.
Yes.
The video to Padam Padam by Kylie Minogue, it went viral on TikTok almost instantly. There are so many stylized dance moves in that video clip, that it was... Here's the thing. If that video had been done by, I don't know, who's some of the up-and-coming, like Olivia Rodrigo or Miley Cyrus some of these younger performers, it would have been good, it would have been great, it would have been a hit. When you take it as being a 55-year-old Australian pop star doing it and ruling the charts for a period of time because of it, it's phenomenal. Kylie Minogue is now breaking into Madonna territory in what Madonna was doing 10 or 15 years ago.
And you know, the juxtaposition of this is that Madonna, I know that she lived in London at the same time as Kylie, who's now living back in Melbourne, I believe.
She is.
They'd go out shopping and put on disguises and go to Selfridges in London, and they had a great time. They got on really well. But, you know, it's interesting that Madonna, of course, Madonna has done well all over the world, but really...
The biggest-selling female recording artist of all time.
Oh, really? No.
Yes.
Really?
Absolutely.
Why am I surprised? I want to talk about Troy.
In fact, she's in the top three or four biggest selling solo artists of all time.
Gosh, and she can hold
that. Easy and clearly the biggest female solo recording artist by at least 100, 150 million albums. Yeah.
And she is 65 years old.
Yes, yeah, so and Carly's 65.
Does it really matter anymore if you've got it? It depends on who you are, I suppose. Yeah.
Well, the thing with Madonna is she's never pandered to her audience. She's never pandered to the media or the music industry. Madonna has always done what she wanted to do.
Yeah. She's tough. She takes no crap.
She's tough.
Yeah.
And she's amazing. Like, she's phenomenal. Amazing. There will never be another Madonna.
And she is a strong, strong woman.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, she gets a bucket load of condemnation and criticism for her behaviour and her how she's looking lately. Of course, she's been having some surgery recently, which is
yes,
which sadly for her, she didn't go away and have the surgery and wait for it to all settle down and then come back.
Yes, I saw this.
So unfortunately, on social media, she kept, you know, a constant stream of photos of herself during this process. So there are photos out there now from the last. I'm just hiccuping now.
Yeah, hiccup.
A lot of photos from the last sort of, you know, couple of years where you can see clearly she's had work done, clearly it's not settled, and you know, she's copping a lot of flack for that. Mm. I don't think she cares about it. Obviously, she doesn't care about it. If she cared about it, she would do this stuff.
I love
that. I think she loves the controversy as well. I think
she feeds
off that. Yeah,
we just said the same thing at the same time.
Yeah.
Adam, we've just got to move on because we're stuck for time. I want to talk about Sexy Troy. Now, I watched that video. Should I be turning gay for him? Because that video is full on.
Well, you're not a real man if you don't.
Okay, I'll think about that one. Let's just say I'll get back to you on that.
Yeah, he's my hall pass, by the way. if you're listening, Troy, call me up.
yes.
He's amazing. I first heard Troy Sivan when he released his first album called Blue Neighborhood back in 2015. I didn't know of him. He was famous before then, but I didn't know of him.
Yeah.
He was an actor before he was a singer. In fact, he acted in the first Wolverine film.
Really?
Which of course Hugh Jackman's famous for.
Indeed.
And he wasn't just some extra in the background. He played the young Hugh Jackman. He played the young Wolverine in that film. And he's been in numerous TV shows and films since. So he started out as a pre-teen on YouTube. He had his own YouTube channel where he would just post stuff about that he was doing, and he garnered a following there. And then he started to sing, and he started to do a few songs, like cover versions on his YouTube channel, and people were going, yeah, you're good, you're good. And then Mark Holden, who is a famous singer here in Australia, and then he became even more famous when he was the judge on the first reincarnation or the first version of Australian Idol here in Australia. Mark Holden was one of the judges on that. He's worked in the music industry his whole life, and he was instrumental in Troy Sivan getting his first recording contract. Mark Holden signed him to his first contract, and Troy was only 15 at the time.
Wow.
And in 2015, he released his first album called Blue Neighborhood, which when that was released, I saw a video to it and I thought, oh, this is interesting. And so I got the album, and the album blew me away. It was my favourite album of 2015. Even today, it is still easily, I would say, in my top 20 albums of all time.
How is
phenomenal.
We're talking about success in America in this interview. Yeah. How big is he in America? I know it's all new to the Americans. But what sort of future do you see with him in America?
Okay, let me just,
because it's a tricky place, you know.
Oh, it is, absolutely. A couple of things I'll say before I answer that question.
Sure.
For the listeners who aren't aware who Troy Sivan is, he's a young Australian pop star and actor. He's openly gay. His all of his music is around his personality and his persona and his sexuality. So he has that against him to start with.
Yeah,
in mainstream pop in America.
Good point. Yeah, it's a tough call. Yeah.
Yeah. Blue Neighborhood really captured, it tapped into a thin vein of homocentric pop music in America somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, America's, as I said a moment ago, the biggest music market in the world.
Yeah.
There's 380 odd million people in America.
That's right.
And the, they all listen to music, they all buy music. And so, you know, it's a huge market. Mm. Now, he was starting to build himself a very successful, very reputable career as an independent gay artist to a small gay audience. Yes. His first two albums, Blue Neighborhood and Bloom from 2018, were really marketing him to the gay audience in America. And so he stood the chance of being, you know, pigeonholed as this type of artist, as this, you know, eccentric gay, overtly gay artist. Mm. His 2018 album, Bloom, was overtly sexual.
Yes.
And it found an audience in that market that he was aiming at in America. So when he released Something to Give Each Other earlier this year, his new album, I think the industry and certainly a lot of his fans were expecting that this would be a further push into that market, that limited but very affluent market of gay music in America.
Mm.
I don't think really anyone was expecting that a Troye Sivan album would break into the mainstream of America. But yes. His first single off his new album, Something to Give Each Other, his first single, Rush, did exactly that. It broke out of the gay scene and into the mainstream. And it also, like Kylie 3 months before him, he produced a video that, although it's overtly homosexual in content, it has at its core, in the chorus, in the video, some very impressive dance steps that are also reasonably easy for people at home to reproduce. And so that meant that this also became a viral hit on TikTok.
Yes.
So what we've ended up with is the two biggest dance/club hits in America this summer were by Australian artists who both broke through because of TikTok. But what's really interesting, Henry, is Kylie Minogue had released 5 albums before Troye Sivan was even born.
That's hilarious.
And so for the both of them to be in the charts doing this at the same time, it's, of course, it's phenomenal for Troye, fantastic. And it's going to set him up to be a major pop star in America,
which
means globally.
And we've got to go soon. Does he and Kylie kind of know each other? I mean, they're, you know, he's half her age. Now they're both doing well in America. Do you reckon they know each other? Probably not.
Yes, they do know each other. I don't know how friendly they are, but they certainly know. They certainly have met. They certainly know each other. And they've both commented on how amazing is this that us two Aussies are doing this at the same time in America. That's like, they're both mind blown by that.
Yes, and I'm wondering if Americans know that they're Australian, because Americans often don't know.
Yeah, look, they certainly know Kylie's Australian.
Well, yes, she's established. Yeah.
That goes without saying. And I just want to say before we go, she's at the moment doing a sellout residency in Las Vegas at one of the big casinos in Las Vegas. And she started that only a week or so ago, and it's sold out now until well into the new year.
And Las Vegas, let's just say, Las Vegas is one hell of a place to get a gig.
Yeah,
it's hard absolutely. To get a gig in Las Vegas.
If you can make it in Las Vegas, you've made America. You've broken America.
Yeah.
And so it's bizarre to think that at 55 years of age, Kylie Minogue's finally broken into America.
It is
funny, become mainstream
isn't it?
In America. She's always had a gay following in America. She's always had a club following in America.
A niche kind of market,
And she's had many hits on those on the club and the house charts. Mm. But
now it's mainstream.
But now it's mainstream.
Do you think
and
that's
a really interesting thing? Sorry, go on.
Sorry, I was going to say, it's interesting that Americans have... let's talk about time with regard to sexuality. Americans in recent times, like the rest of the world, have become much more open to the whole gay thing.
Which is fantastic.
Yes.
You know, pretty much now in America, and even 5 years ago I wouldn't have been able to say this, but even now in America, you're able to be non-heterosexual, let's just say non-heterosexual, because that then covers everything.
Yes, it's much faster than LGBTQI.
Yeah, I haven't got time to list off all the alphabet.
Yes.
But let's just say, at the moment in America, it is possible for you to be non-heterosexual and be an A-list celebrity.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
Couldn't have said that 5 years ago.
Yeah, okay.
That is amazing.
We got to go.
That is incredible. Before we do, just very quickly, one thing I want to say.
Sure, Adam.
At the awards last night, both Troy and Carly were nominated and they both won major awards.
Yes.
Which is fantastic. Both of them now have nominations for the Grammys in February.
In America.
I'm going to make a prediction here. In America.
Yeah.
The global, the epitome of global
the big one.
Music awards. Yeah. The you can't get bigger. Mm. They're both nominated in fields, and I'm going to make a prediction here that I predict that both of them will both win a Grammy. Carly's already got a Grammy. She won a Grammy a dozen or so years ago.
Oh.
Best dance song, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
I suggest that in February, both Kylie Minogue and Troye Sivan will be bringing Grammys back home to Australia.
Okay.
And how good is that?
Look, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Let's go out with the song from one of them. We've only got time for one. Who would you like to pick, and what song would you like us to play?
Okay. Instinctually, I would have said Padam Padam by Kylie, but I'm going to ask that today to end this with Troye Sivan's Rush, because he's fastly becoming one of my favourite artists. As I mentioned earlier, he's already my whole past, so...
Yes, indeed.
Let's go with Troy.
Okay. Adam Devlin is in Queensland. I'm Henry in Sydney. Adam, thank you for joining me on the show.
Been an absolute pleasure, Henry. Take care, and I'll chat to you soon.
Indeed. This is Bondi Tunes International. This is Real Radio.
The sun never sets on Bondi Tunes.